It's Tuesday, March 8th, 2016, and you're listening to episode 393 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 50 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name is John.
My name's Chad.
This is Wayne.
And this is Chris.
Who's that again?
Some hobo.
Who cares? So, one announcement, and then we're into it. Chris, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Oh, my gosh. Those of you that follow me with excruciating amount of detail will probably remember my two failed Kickstarters that I had back in the day. What ended up actually happening out of that is that that kind of ended up giving me an idea for just kind of a one-off project to try, and that has finally come out. I'm actually calling it a short film because then that allowed me to enter it into a short film contest. And it is...
That's a good reason.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with that.
I called Fear the Boot a mid-sized sedan, which is why we now have a J.D. Powers and Associates Award.
Yeah, I think Pat submitted us to the AVNs,
yeah.
He just wants to
Wayne,
right
what
out.
Did you do with that tape?
Oh, God, no. Cherry on Chris. I'm sorry.
No, that's actually, I want you to kind of go on with this. I want to hear more about this AVN submission.
Slowly, in great detail.
No, so it's called It Figures, The Parental Menace, or Episode 1, The Parental Menace, and it is essentially, it goes with the concept of a group of Star Wars action figures sitting around a table playing role-playing game session. And I took the family dynamic of the Skywalker clan and kind of used that as kind of a plot springboard for the film. One of the figures around the table is mine, though I had them all, but I actually had a friend who had figures in much better condition than mine, so he was generous enough to let me use his, including the Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader that still not only have their original lightsabers in them, but they even have the small little tiny tip on the end, which is very, very hard for any child collecting them in the day to actually keep attached to the saber. But I had voice work provided by a couple of booters, Seneca and Scott Nelson, and then got additional voice work from Eric from Gamers Table and Kat Cool from the Campaign Podcast. So I kept my voice out of this for obvious reasons. But yeah, but it came out a couple weeks ago, and cute little film. We gave some props in there to Fear the Boot, of course. So I've submitted it to the Gen Con Film Festival, which is probably the only film festival that actually would take a movie of this type, seeing as how it deals with a niche within a niche. So
I am plastered at Steak and Shake and vaguely feel a disturbance in the force that film festival is probably going on at that time, I will wave a supportive paw in its direction.
Nothing would make me happier than for you to crash the actual, if they screen it, for you to crash the screening and go on some sort of intoxicated rambling and then walk out.
Dude, I would totally just come into that screening falling down drunk, just carrying on about wild government conspiracy theories.
Oh my gosh, that'd be beautiful.
So for anyone who wants to check this out, I will put a link to the YouTube video in the show notes. So if you want to see Chris's comedy short film done with Star Wars figures playing the Star Wars characters as voiced by a variety of people, show notes at feartheboot.com, and you will find a link to It Figures.
What game are they playing?
It's never fully revealed, but it is a fantasy RPG.
Oh, Gennaro, totally not
generic,
D&D.
Generic fantasy RPG.
I think it would be a lot better if you had them playing Star Wars. You had them playing like Saga Edition or something like that.
You know, I had thought about doing some sort of Inception-like thing where they're playing Space Battle or something, the RPG.
You should do all of the New Hope characters, and they're playing a Star Wars role-playing game where they're playing the Phantom Menace. But
oh my gosh.
They hate each other because the plot is so terrible and everybody's character sucks.
Yeah.
But they're being really snippy about it.
And they could role play in character with incredibly wooden dialogue.
Yes.
And yeah.
He's a Jar Jar Binks. Isn't that a little racist, Luke?
Isn't the Yeah, I'm going to stop because we're probably going to offend some people. But almost every character in that movie is racist in one way or another. So anyway, all right. So
send in the droidicas.
Yeah. Also them.
And the Watto.
God! I knew all of them individually. I never sat down and contemplated that all of them together created this, like, horrible 30s Klan recruitment reel of horrific stereotypes.
Dude, it was...
But
that's just Lucas living out his childhood.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's racist.
But it was
just
a different time. Yeah.
No. Lucas is intensely not racist. He actually does a ton of stuff for African-American causes.
Absolutely. It's just,
yeah.
Thinking about all of that coming together in the Star Wars prequels just made me realize that I hate them on even another level.
They had Asian stereotypes, they had Italian stereotypes, they had Jewish stereotypes, they had black stereotypes. Mm-hmm. So if you just need another reason to dislike the film,
I can assure you I'm never watching a prequel film again. I probably will watch the Plinkett deconstructions every 4 or 5 years like I do already.
If I were playing in a game and those were the characters, I would want to get out.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I know what you just did, Wayne. That's Wayne's segue into the topic.
Right.
So we're gonna
I don't even know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah. So all right, there's a topic we're gonna talk about, which Wayne is actually going to run this topic because originally I wasn't even sure if I was going to be on this episode because I'm not going to go into my life drama here, but I've had kind of a rough past week or two, and so I wasn't sure I was even going to be on this episode, and so I got Wayne prepped to moderate the show in my absence.
He's not sitting in the daddy chair.
No, he's not. Well, that's because I'll save him having to mess with a mixer and such.
Damn it.
But at any rate, so since I am on it, I will still participate, but Wayne is going to be moderating. So Wayne's got some notes put together that I saw at dinner and liked. So Wayne, go ahead, kick off our topic and tell us what we were talking about.
Our topic is leaving a game or a game group without looking like an asshole. So I want to set some ground rules here for our discussion, because it's not a true Fear the Boot topic if we don't start off with some caveats. So ground rule number one, you are leaving because either the game or the group is bad. Not because of scheduling issues, not because of boredom.
Sure.
Oh, but how the scheduling issues shall mask my motives.
Ground rule number two. You have already decided to leave, and you are not trying to save the game or the group.
Yeah.
So we're not going to tangent off on that.
It's unsavable. How is it unsavable? Doesn't matter.
A wizard did it.
Right.
Yes. Magic.
But you're not trying to salvage it.
No. Ground rule number three. This is a group and not just a loose pool of people that regularly cycle in and out of games.
So it's not like some random internet Skype game with strangers.
Yeah. Yes, that is
where there is no social cost to joining or leaving.
RPG Tinder or whatever. And
to start off,
instead of roll left.
Oh,
have any of you left a game or a group?
I'm sure we all have.
I haven't. So.
Except you. Wayne, I keep forgetting that you're like a rank novice, that you've only been gaming for basically as long as you've been on Fear the Boot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
and about. With the same group.
Oh my God, I got Wayne's first dice.
I know. Oh my God. But yes, I have left multiple groups and multiple games, some under the honest color of changing life circumstances that made it impossible, some under... Yeah, that may be what I have emphasized when I told them I was leaving, but the game was actually terrible.
I don't think I've ever left a group. There has been once or twice where there has been a group and they invited me and I showed up for the first game and it really wasn't my cuppa. And then I don't want to say I just didn't show up. It's just like I never made an effort to reach out to find out when the next game is. They never really made an effort to reach out to me.
Yes.
Sort of thing. But... yeah, there was this one time, I think I had told the story like years and years ago, so I'll tell it again. There's this group, and they played ostensibly D&D, but I don't think it's any kind of D&D that actually like worked or followed the rules or anything. They handed me a character sheet. It was somebody who wasn't there. I think they all had multiple characters and such, and it was a halfling, rogue, assassin, wizard, cleric, fighter... cross class.
That sounds awesome and really deep and mature.
And it was like level 26.5, and every single blank white space on the character sheet had something written in it. There was no place.
How big was his
write anymore. I'm sure it was in there somewhere.
It wasn't fatal.
That doesn't mean it wasn't house ruled.
Imagine having a really high power character, right? And, you know, there's a town and the town has a night watch. They have the village guards, right? And you can totally stomp them. And you go into the town and the game master's like, okay, now the guards, they try to arrest you. What do you do? We destroy them. Roll. Spend the next 8 hours rolling. And then all the dogs, the cats, the guards, the cows, the village people, everybody is
not
dead.
The village people.
Well, you know.
Young man, there's no need to feel down.
But everybody's dead. But they all had stuff. The villagers had torches and pitchforks. The guards had armor and pole arms and stuff. And taking every single last weapon and piece of armor and denoting every single last piece of armor. And, we got to throw encumbrance out the window. Yeah. So, I mean, my guy, he's a halfling. Halfling.
Why?
He had 28 pole arms on his person. He had 28 pole arms. This halfling did. I imagined him to be like the pole arm wicker man walking around the villages, just very sharp and dangerous. But I mean, it was just like any of this equipment was available at a moment's notice. And don't get me wrong, they didn't have portable holes. They didn't have never-ending sacks or whatever. They didn't have hirelings carry the shit around. It was just outwrit on their character sheet and all the spells and the armors and the everything, right? So it was that kind of game.
Because encumbrance rules are for pussies.
They are, right?
To be fair, exactly. I despise encumbrance rules. But
I do too.
If somebody came to my table and was like, how many leather breastplates fall when I kill the entire town guard? I would probably say, wait for me to call you about when I'm scheduling the next session and then never see them again.
Right.
Yeah. See, yes. I hate encumbrance rules, but if someone says, I'm going to put that elephant in my bag, then I'm going to stop and say, okay, hold on.
Well, so. Okay.
So point being, Chad, you obviously did not continue to game with this group.
No. It was like, we show up 5 minutes and that's the one where I was like,
yeah,
got your pens, got your papers, everybody settled. Okay, ready to start. Round one.
Oh,
and then 6 hours later, lost count of the rounds, the combat ends, and everyone's like, damn, that was a good session. Ah, that was awesome. High fives all around. I'm like, you know what? I did have a good time. I'm never doing this again in my life. And I got into it, right? And I was there, and we had a good time. But yeah, that was very much... I left, I drove home, and I'm like, I'm never going to make this next game happen that I am a part of. It. It's going to happen without me. And they never brought it up, right? So, and that was the weird thing. It's not like I was sitting there going, oh, harumph, there's no story. Where's my character's motivation? Harumph. No, I was getting into it. I was getting into the spirit of it. Just for the experience of it, it was very interesting.
Yet they still never called him again.
Never called me again.
But you know, in situations like that, though, because I had a similar experience as well, where you know suddenly everything seems relatively normal, then you know reality just kind of hits the brakes, and you know everything goes off the rails at that point. It is just, you know, it's not you.
That's why I kept telling myself it was fun,
but this is not the way I like to play games. I enjoy. Right. Getting magic items handed to me if there's a reason. I enjoy, you know, rolling all kinds of combat rolls if it makes some sort of sense. But just for the exercise, you know, in math, that stopped being fun for me, by the time you worked that out of your system in the first couple of years of your playing, and then you go on and do something else. And my approach was very similar to yours, Chad, in the fact that I never bothered to, I still saw them, you know, around campus or whatever, talk to them and stuff. But whenever they, and I guess maybe in some way I took kind of a coward's way out, because when they wanted to play again, I was miraculously busy and I was, you know, I was washing my hair, you know, and oh, I'm busy then too. Oh, but I didn't even tell you when we're playing. Trust me, I'm busy. I practice a tried and true avoidance in that particular thing, which probably wasn't the best way to do it.
Gonna find some parallels between breaking up with a dating prospect and breaking up with a gaming group. Not perfectly, but there's a Venn diagram there of things like blaming yourself and fabricating scheduling conflicts, et cetera, et cetera. We certainly reached number one. Absolutely the most low contact, low conflict version, if not necessarily the easiest
Fade
in all
the
circumstances,
shadows.
Is just ghost.
Yep.
You got done with a session. You didn't call them back. Mm-hmm. They didn't call you back. everyone just kind of sailed off.
Become ephemeral.
And
like I've never left a gaming group, but fine. I'm not proud of myself to say I have broken up with a girl in that way.
Well, there you have it. I don't think I've ever just straight up stopped going with no communication either before or after I quit the gaming group. That seems to be a solution that's much more popular in arenas where you don't really know the other people you're playing with that well, especially if you're in an online pickup game, whether that's on Roll20 or it's a forum-based thing.
I think that's almost expected.
Yeah, it is expected. That is, yeah. They are plagued. Yes. I would say like plant 3 seeds at a time and then take the biggest sprout after a week or two approach.
I think there are some factors that come in on how you would react to this. At least there are some that would come in for me. And there are questions I would ask myself. Number one is, will I ever see these people again?
Yes, that is.
If it's an online game where I've never seen them before,
yes.
I'm probably never going to see them again.
And we all agree that the nice thing to do would be not to ghost, but we all acknowledge that when the social cost of ghosting is very low, it becomes much, much more attractive and people do it.
Well, people don't like conflict.
Yes.
And some people don't handle conflict well,
right.
You know, where it's just like, even if it is from your perspective non-conflict,
yes,
they might take it personally, you know, hey, I'm sorry the game wasn't for me, well, what's wrong with my game, red flag.
Well, right, and I think that's what makes it so difficult is the fact that let's use the analogy that I think it was that John just used, which is the parallels between leaving a gaming group and an interromantic relationship. It's kind of weird in that my experiences have been very different in that every romantic relationship I've had to end, I always ended in fire and confrontation. But I've never just ghosted a girl or something like that. It's always been like, yeah, we're breaking up and this is why.
I've never had that problem. I've been dumped and I've been like, no thanks. And I've walked away and I've done the awkward, wait a minute, I thought we had something. She didn't call me. Why is this happening? I don't understand.
Right, yeah.
Well, at least I have video games.
I've never had the big blow up either.
But here's the thing.
I've had them end in fire and ice, alternatively, never the same at once. Anyway, go on, Dan.
Well, yeah, but when you break up with somebody, you're rejecting them as a person for whatever reason. Lack of compatibility, something they did, who knows what. And when you look at a role-playing game, you're talking about a social engagement with a group of people where everyone involved to varying degrees has put some amount of themselves into the effort. They've invested creatively. They've put a piece of themselves into the story or into the character they're playing. And when you suddenly say, I don't want to be in this game anymore, I think it is very, very hard for a lot of people to separate that they're rejecting the game. They're not rejecting me. And right. I think the person who's doing it has very good reason to be afraid that the decision to say, I'm not going to be part of this game anymore, will be received as, this is a rejection of you guys.
Because no matter how true it is, saying, it's me, it's not you, sounds like bullshit.
It does.
Yeah.
No matter what the situation.
It absolutely
does.
Because it usually is.
And here's one of the things in my
own
life.
It's always a combination.
We talked about the difference between letting this die in ice and letting this die in fire. And an example of ice is ghosting.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a person who really does have a messed up schedule. I have a lot of things that come and go. I've made no secret on the show of the fact that I have social anxiety disorders. Mm-hmm. And so there really are things. And I'll be straight up with you. There are times I've ghosted a group because I didn't like what was going on. Mm-hmm. There have been other times I ghosted a group that I wanted to be a part of, but something really did happen. And that creates a level of discomfort as well, because from the perspective of the people that I'm ghosting, how do they know why I'm doing it?
Right.
How do they know, am I being a jerk or is there really something beyond my control that's causing this? Am I avoiding them or do I really have something else going on? And that's
then because of, like you said, the social anxiety, it's not like the simple solution. Oh, just sit down and talk about it. Well, that's not the simple solution.
Yeah.
And we've compared this to breaking up with a girlfriend, but there is one aspect of it that is very different here. For all of us, at least, and for most people, that's a one-to-one relationship.
Yeah.
A gaming group is not one person. And if you're like most of us, we game with our friends.
Mm-hmm.
We don't game with random people online.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not one person you're breaking up with. You are, for some reason, saying, these 4 to 5 friends of mine, I don't want to partake in this activity with them anymore. It's not one person that you're talking to. You now have the peer pressure of 4 to 5 friends saying, what do you mean? You shouldn't go.
But that kind of goes back to the whole idea of you're saying, it's not you, it's me, which you all were kind of saying is bullshit. And I, to a certain extent,
it sounds like bullshit.
Yeah, and I said it usually is.
I think for the most part, in this particular situation, I don't really think that that's the case. Because if what they were doing in the game and in the sessions and within the group dynamic, if you agreed to it and you were happy with it and you were enjoying it, well, then you would continue to play. But if you're not, if what they're doing does not appeal to you, then actually it is you. And there is nothing wrong with saying, it is me, it's not you, but here's why it's me. Because this reason, this reason, this reason. And that's great that you guys want to play that way, but that's not the way I play. I just don't really, I don't get much enjoyment out of it. That time has passed. Whatever the excuse might be, it is you. And there's nothing wrong with it being you. It's just a matter of if you are going to actually man up and communicate, or person up and communicate about it, you need to fully communicate about it and say, you know, you have to acknowledge and at least put some positivity on what they're doing, that they like that, that's cool, but that ain't you.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Providing a concrete, impersonal reason, you know, going to a group of 4 other people that you like as friends and who play round 1 fight the game. If you can go to them and say, guys, I wanted Story Stick the Hippieing, where we all, you know, give each other back rubs while we talk about what we bring to the story.
Yeah.
Chad's like, oh, baby. I think you can disengage in that situation with much less friction.
It is much easier said than done. I mean, it's nice to say that here, but when it actually comes to it, it is not an easy thing to do.
Well, yeah, because you don't know how it's going to pan out. You don't know how it's going to be received. I mean, what everyone is saying is absolutely right, that in the ideal world, the best thing to do is to sit down, to be honest, to explain specifically what the issues are, and for the people that are hearing it to receive that with a certain amount of maturity and dispassion. That's not always the reality of how it works. And even if it is the reality of how it works, whatever percentage of the time, your brain, at least the brains of most people, is going to believe it's going to be far worse, far more often than it really will, you know, which only compounds all of this.
Well, and what if it is that person? Because, I mean, you're asking yourself the question here. Do you want to stay friends with these people outside of gaming?
Hell no. If they don't offer me gaming, what good are they to me?
Exactly.
That's right.
And the question for there is, why is the group together? Is it a group of friends that are playing games, or is it a group that just got together for gaming? Because those are two separate things.
Now there is a question.
There are the friends that started gaming together, but then there are people where it's just, hey, I know a guy, I know a guy. Yes. They all met through gaming, and they don't have any interaction outside of
gaming.
It's
much more easy come, easy go if you're an ad hoc group of otherwise unaffiliated people who have come together for gaming. Yeah, and then gaming with your friends. And I don't do that. I game with my friends exclusively. And if I want more people, I'll find a friend who doesn't game yet and make them game.
Well, and that was the thing. When I started gaming, I didn't know anybody else at the table.
Yeah. You were introduced by Chad doing exactly that.
Yep. I consider all of them my friends now. But at the time, I didn't know any of them.
Yeah. I didn't know you until Chad brought you into RPG world.
I think one of the other questions I ask myself is, was it always bad? Is this a group that I've really enjoyed playing with in the past, and there's just something that's a dynamic now that's bad?
Yeah.
Because how I exit would make a difference there.
Yeah.
It's the exit of, I'm not feeling this, I need a break, maybe I'll be back someday.
Right. Or
if you're going to ask yourself that question, Wayne, then I think you need to follow up to analyze why is it bad. If you're going to say, you know, if you ask yourself, is this bad, and you say yes, well then why? And you have to really come up to really determine what is it that's causing it to be bad. Yeah.
Well,
is it a personal issue or what?
Is it a true breakup or is it a breakup for now?
I think that you're obligated to really analyze why it's bad, see what you could do different. If it's your friends you game with, I think that if they're people you know and like, but you're not necessarily friends with that you game with, I don't think that there's much onus on trying to repair things.
Chad, there is something that you've been a big help to me on.
No.
Which is,
glad I could help.
Which is, I think I'm empathetic to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
I worry way too much about how what I'm doing affects everyone else to a level that is really not healthy in some way.
Sure.
And this is a silly story or a silly example, but I think it's completely relevant to what we're talking about. Let's talk about World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that when I was in even just a pickup group, total strangers, total random matchup, had no idea who these people were, that if for some reason I wanted out, maybe something else came up I needed to do around the house. Maybe these people were all being jerks. Maybe they just had no competence. We were getting nowhere, whatever. That it was always a real struggle for me to kind of come up with that reason and say my goodbyes. You didn't do that. When it was going bad, you're just like, well, guys, thanks for the run, if even that.
That sounds
drop.
Not me.
Yeah, and just drop.
That was how I did it. My method was, hi, I'm the healer. I can replace you in seconds. Right. You need me. I don't need you.
Oh,
goodbye.
Well, I used to be like, well, I don't want to get into WoW stories, but I used to play classes that were easily replaceable, classes that everyone else played. Yeah, right. But even then, it would be like, okay, I want to achieve something here, and I don't know you. I'm not going to like start flinging racial slurs and talking down to you, but I'm just going to go.
Yeah. And you
and
just,
how do you feel about trolls, Chad?
So that and, was, but there was something. And here's where it got really bad for me. Is when I became a tank, because tanks are really rare.
Yep.
It's they need me. And so I started bossing them around, and people were like, these strangers are like, well, we're just going to leave. Bye. Because when I requeue, I'm in 15 seconds. When you requeue, you're there for 2 hours.
Cues, you newbie. So, go to Orgrimmar and get in trade, Chad. Right.
That's why it was so different for me starting with City of Heroes. Because World of Warcraft, you just requeue some, you can get a new tank. City of Heroes, when you do the task force and you're planning this out, if somebody leaves, you can't invite anyone new.
Yeah.
You are locked into the party you start. And so it goes into asking the question, if I leave, is this group going to break up and will they have just wasted the last hour and a half?
Here's the thing.
And I feel bad about that.
Well, and this kind of ties back to what we're talking about too. So your City of Heroes versus World of Warcraft thing, those are two different communities.
Yeah.
In City of Heroes, people were really nice. So they're friends, and that's cool. In World of Warcraft, they're not really nice. So, fuck them. I would act differently in the different situations.
You guys, I wish one of you would have played UO back in the heyday. If guilt over leaving a raid instance racks your brains, I would have loved to have gone to the bottom of deceit with you and killed people as they were trying to peacefully hunt Lich Lords.
You're drawing this back. It's certainly one of the things that I took away from that is as of today, I still play Final Fantasy 14 on and off. It is a heck of a lot easier when I'm in a pug. Mm-hmm. I'm a fairly patient person. Sure. I'm laid back. I don't take the game super seriously. But if there's something that is really bothering me and it's a pug, I just maybe say something polite and then drop out. I'm gone. Yep. Whereas if it's people I know, if these are individuals I have a relationship with that has nothing to do with Final Fantasy, these are people that I know outside of the game, or maybe it's only in the game, but we have a long-running relationship, then I feel a lot more onus on me to try and protect that relationship, to give them the truth, or unfortunately sometimes to start fabricating more convenient lies because of the fact that I don't want to burn those bridges. I don't want to lose a friendship or a relationship over what's really otherwise a trivial problem.
So along those lines are the next three questions I would ask myself. One of them might just make me a dick. So question one that I would ask is, am I the only one that's not happy?
That's a real good question to ask.
So are there other people at the table that are unhappy? Which leads into question two, will my leaving break up the group?
Yeah.
Is it an unstable group where my leaving will break it up? Which leads into question number three that I might be a dick for immediately thinking, if you're a GM, which I GM, is there anyone from the group I want to steal to bring into my own game?
Well,
let me. Oh, sure. That's not a dick move. That's necessary for survival.
Let me pause question three for a second and hit question two. If one person leaving is going to disintegrate the group, it was never healthy to begin with.
Right.
Yeah. Depends on who the person is. I think there are groups out there where there is one person who's the linchpin.
Well, I think this line of questioning, though, it leads to a certain analysis of saying, okay, I'm not happy in the group. Is anybody else not happy? My perception is that 90% of the group is unhappy in the same way as I am. But I'm not trying to sow dissent. I actually haven't even talked to anybody. I just kind of get that impression.
But if it's not, then you ask yourself, is it me?
Is it me? Yeah, if everyone's happy and the group isn't falling apart and you're not happy, then it's probably me. But if everyone's unhappy, why are they unhappy? Is it one person in the group. Like, the GM is really terrible or whatever. There's one guy who's a total whatever. Then can you go around to the group and say, you know what? It's not me, but it's not you either. It's actually that
Fred!
Fred! Screw him. It's always been Fred. How can we politely get rid of Fred?
Everyone leaves the game one person at a time. Is it someone else starts the group then again 2 weeks later?
Do we game at Fred's
everyone
house?
Back but Fred?
Does Fred bring chips and Coke and soda? And
never
stuff?
Game at
no,
Fred's house.
No, because Fred's a dick.
Yeah. Yeah, Fred's a dick. Why is he? Yeah.
I have actually done this multiple times in the not all that distant past.
Actually, it would be easier if it's at Fred's house, because then you go around and you collect the players and you just don't show up to Fred's house. Getting Fred not to show up at your house, that's the drama.
You finish the arc, or if Fred is responsible for crashing the arc, and right. Fred has done this to me before, then you have Fred. Casus Belli to not invite Fred to the next arc.
Right.
That's actually the next thing I was going to ask myself would be, is it the near the end of an arc or a campaign?
Yeah.
Can I just wait until that's over and then be okay?
Can you talk
your graceful
and if
exit.
All your games are on the internet, they're never at Fred's house.
Well, I think that is a fair question. Was if
can you ride the train into the station and say, okay, guys, I'm not interested. I love you. You're all great. And I love me and I'm great. But where this train is going, the next campaign, just not totally interested. Yeah. I'm getting off at this stop.
And if you're intensely concerned about minimizing social friction,
that's
probably a good
the
move.
Best way.
You should. Mm-hmm. I mean,
we've been playing fantasy. Now you want to play starships, and you know me, I'm not a starship guy. It's like, but you only read science fiction and you talk about starships all the time.
The
like
last
I said,
game
I can't hear you.
I already hung
up. La, 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 bye.
So thinking back through my own gaming history, there are not a huge amount of groups that I've left. There have been a lot more situations where the issue has been there's a particular person or sometimes a particular character that I want gone more often than I myself want to leave. And as I look through my history, most of the gaming groups that I have ceased being a part of, it goes back to what I was talking about before, a combination of scheduling instability. I mean, you know, my life schedule really is fairly busy and fairly screwed up. And combine that with the social anxiety where there are sometimes I'm free, but I'm just not psychologically in the proper state to really go and engage in that kind of activity. Point being, though, that if I look through my history, most of the reasons that I've had to leave have been honest and unintentional.
Sure. Is there ever a non-honest reason to leave?
Well, there can be non-honest about what you say the reason is. And that's one of the
things. Well, let me flip that question around. Are there non-legitimate reasons to leave?
Well, before I get to that, that's a fair question. Before I get to that, the thing that I wanted to say, though, is that, and this is a very recent epiphany of my life, and it's such a straightforward idea that it should not have taken me until 39 to get to this point. But kind of one of the big social transformations I've been undergoing over the past couple of years, I think kind of boiled down to something that is a stupid meme that I posted on Facebook a while back that said, never treat as a priority someone that treats you as an option, or never make a priority someone that makes you an option. This idea that, you know, I want to live my life in an honest and authentic way. The confrontation sucks. The uncertainty of how the confrontation will go sucks. But if I have people in my life to where that moment of honesty, that moment of truth about what's going on is either going to result in all kinds of drama or the termination of a friendship or them taking it all on themselves and getting all depressed and all whatever, then maybe those really aren't healthy relationships to have anyway. And so I've reached this point where, you know, I can't control the things I can't control, but the things I can control, I'm trying to do a lot more authentically. And the reason that I wanted to talk about this angle specifically is because this just occurred to me. Mm-hmm. This literally just occurred yesterday or today. I forget which. I'm kind of blurred mentally. But I've been playing in this werewolf game. And the game master, Amanda's a person I consider a good friend. Mm-hmm. I don't know all of the players, but I know most of the players, and I consider them to be good friends. And the game itself you know, if I look at what's going on, it's not like I don't want to game with these people. It's not like, oh, the GM's being a total bitch to me. It's not like the other players are being mean to me. It's nothing like that. But part of these personal epiphanies is I've been going through a lot of conflict within my life of trying to sort out some of these relationships and such. And I am not psychologically in a place where I'm really prepared to deal with even the perception of social tension. And unfortunately, the way that Werewolf is written to be played, this is not they're running it wrong. This is how Werewolf is meant to be played, is there is tension between you and what's called the litany, which is the rules you're supposed to be abiding by. But depending on the game master, the spirit versus the letter gets a little fuzzy. But there can be some arguments about, well, maybe you shouldn't be doing things this way. There's tension between your werewolf tribe and all the other tribes and other clans that are out there. And then there's supposed to be this whole thing of pack dominance. And, you know, if you do certain things, you're threatening the dominance of the alpha, who then has to turn on you. And I mean, there's degrees you can deal with this at. But the fact is that hint, that seasoning of interpersonal conflict is woven into the fiber of the game. And that was really causing me distress, because it's not something I'm right now in a space that I really am capable of handling. And I did have some honest scheduling issues, and I was out of the country for a couple weeks and all this other crap. But when I got back, you know, I decided, it's like, you know, I owe them the truth. And if they can't accept that truth, then these weren't friendships anyway. And so I had a conversation with Amanda Neiman, or PM actually, on Facebook, where I said, look, this is basically what's going on. I said, you know, I'm not mad at anyone. You guys are running a fine game. You're good people. I would love to game with you in the future. But I think Werewolf is a really bad idea for where I'm at psychologically right now. And it's hurting me to play this game. I need to step out of this game. She was very responsive to that. She handled that very well. She received it very well. You know, she said, I understand. I value you as a friend, and I want to game with you again in the future. And here's some other options we're considering for the future that we'd like to involve you in.
Monster Hearts. Diplomacy, the role play.
But the punchline to the story.
Man, I want to play some Diplo.
But the punchline, the punchline to the story is, I think, you can only run so fast from your own lies.
Right.
You can only run so fast from your own...
I can run pretty fast.
You can only run so
fast... Especially if you're running downhill.
From your own reputation. And so I'll totally admit it. Like most gamers, I chicken shit far more often than I man up, woman up, whatever, and deal with the situation. But I think there are some times to put the pants on and get in there and deal with it, and I think you'll have a healthier life as a result of it.
So let's say you have personed up and you're ready to...
Personed up, Jesus.
You are ready to have the conversation. When do you have...
What are you saying about Christians,
Chad? Do you do this... Do you do it between games? Do you show up at the game session and have the conversation with everyone then? Do you wait to the end of a session and have it...
No, then, it's you treat it like a business. Fire and Fridays. You get a whole week's worth of work out of them and
with
fire them up
security
Friday.
At the desk.
Yeah, you got to quit at the game so you can get all of your dice, maybe some of theirs, and then a couple of books.
Couple highlighters.
Right.
Paperclip.
You don't even quit. You're like, hey, guys, I'm just going to take some of my books to my car. I got a friend who wants to read them, right?
That was a factor I didn't even think about. If you have stuff over there.
Do you know how much... I have over at Pat's house that if I were to quit the gaming group, which I'm not, but if I were to quit the gaming group, it would take me a month of just subtle, oh, I'm just going to take this game back. Oh, okay.
You're now like, you're like the Kato Kaelin of
back.
Gaming.
And
my goodness.
Yeah. So 6 months later, like, man, you know, the Basement Boy Gaming is, it's really opening up down here. I wonder what's going on. Okay, guys.
So, in answer to your query, Wade, I quit between sessions. The last time I did this, it was a game that I just did not find satisfying. There was no real genuine scheduling conflict. You know, I was at a fine point mentally otherwise in other areas of my life, but it was just a bad game. It was, for whatever reasons, I had to leave because I wasn't having any fun, and I just did it between sessions. I hopped into the group chat and said, hey, look, you know, maybe I think there was like... the immediate next session I legitimately couldn't make because I had to be in the air at that time. I fly 6 days a week every once in a while when I'm on the road for work. And I just said, you know what? My work schedule is really unpredictable. Even if it's on a Sunday night, I'd have to miss at least once a month, maybe twice. I need to do the honorable thing and just withdraw from the game because it's not fair to me to commit to doing something that I know I'm going to miss at least a quarter of the time, maybe even half. And then the GM said, cool, bye. There was no social friction as far as I'm aware. Nobody from that group. And I'm still in contact with three of them. And in fact, gaming with one of them in another group. With you in it, Wayne. George, actually.
We've all talked about, just basically the way we've talked about it has been hit the escape button. There's another option out there, though, that I was thinking about.
Fire and brimstone?
No.
Oh.
Murder.
Actually, if you know that you're... Okay, this is happening.
Never trust a man with pigs.
You talk to the GM. You talk to the group. You and the GM can come up with an epic way to take your character out. And instead of just dropping it of, my character is never going to be in another game.
Wayne, is that why you killed my
one
character?
One last session.
Were you trying to tell me something when you murdered my... Literally murder. It wasn't death or dying in his sleep surrounded by friends or walking into the wind.
Did he let you re-roll a character and come back the next
murdered
week?
Murdered my character.
It was the end of an arc and I gave him a post-it note that asked, can I do something horrible to your character? He said yes.
Of course he did. It's Chad.
Well, I was not going to say no.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
But that's the question. If you're willing to go another session, your exit can actually reinvigorate the rest of the
table.
That's
actually a good idea.
If you come up with a... That way you don't have to do the explanation of, well, here's what happened to the character, or we're just going to forget about the character.
But then you can have it go out death.
Epically.
I don't know. I don't like railroading anything.
No, this death was awesome. It was a plot death. No rolls happened. We role-played it out. I didn't know what he was going to do. Every jaw hit the floor, and I'm smiling like a maniac, and Wayne is smiling like a maniac, and then they're all like, you guys, that's, my feels.
That's justifiable.
But I want to jump back to Wayne's question that he asked. How do you go about doing this? You know, is it something you, call? Do you break up via text? Do you know? And I don't think the method that you do it necessarily matters as much, because I think the important thing is that you do that you actually make that effort, because like even in Dan's situation, he has to step into an area that's outside part of his comfort zone to do that, but yet it still ended up becoming a very positive result in the end. And other times when these types of situations happen, if you face that, you know, most of the time, especially if you know these people, the result is going to be generally positive, and you're going to come to an understanding, and everything's going to work out okay. And this, you know, whether it's a gaming situation or even a work or life situation, generally it can work out pretty good. And I think that's the important part here, is that the effort is actually made to do that. You know, I mean, yes, just ghosting is certainly much easier at times, but taking that difficult step and actually doing that generally brings about better results. And I think in the end, it makes you feel a little bit better about
things. Well, it also builds trust. It deepens the relationship.
And there's closure.
There's closure.
There's closure.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about that uncertainty of the other people don't know why you're doing this. And they may invent reasons mentally that are far worse than what reality is. But Chris, I agree. I don't think the method by which you do it or the medium by which you do it is really all that important. But Wayne, to your prior question, I think timing is important, because I think it's a real dick move to do it at the start of the session, because you're basically just crapping all over that sitting, because now suddenly that becomes the topic of the evening. And I think to do it at the end, I think is equally bad. Because of the fact that at least with some people, players, GMs, whatever, they have just come down from a performance. They're analyzing, how did I do? Was this good? Was this not? And somebody responds to that with, I quit. And
actually, now that I think about that, I remember you doing that once, Chad.
Quitting?
It was one of those times, the very end of the session, you're like, I need to talk to you guys. I am between jobs right now.
Oh, yeah.
I need to save my money.
Right.
And it was the end of the session.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I was like, I'm sorry, but that's my last session. And we all understood the reasoning. Yeah. But it was right there at the end of the session.
But it wasn't an indictment of the session. I didn't have a job, gaming costs money.
But I think as a result, I would stand pretty firmly, you need to do this between sessions. You need to do this not on game day. You know, whether that's
I would agree, and I don't think
it matters so much exactly when, but not on game day.
Just give the GM enough time to prepare a game that doesn't have you in it, you lying traitor.
Yeah, well, and that might be something else too. Is don't do it the day before game day so the GM can prepare for it, I guess.
And you should mentally prepare yourself for hearing stories from your friends about how the GM turned your PC into a villain. Because that's going to happen.
I turned a PC into a statue one time. Nice. That's even better than a villain. Wayne, back to your prior point of planning a death as a accompaniment to a game exit.
It doesn't have to be death. Just an epic leaving.
I once had an exit as an accompaniment to a death. One of the characters in the original Blood Moon Goblins campaign was inexplicably a really nice guy outside of the game, but as soon as we started rolling, just became this super aggressive asshat. So he failed a roll when he got looked at by a basilisk and turned into a statue, and I told him he couldn't roll another character, and that was the end of him forever.
You know,
so that's one way to fire someone.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say he failed a roll, but he opened a treasure, and there was a trap on it.
Well, I knew it was talking about me, because Brat was anything but aggressive.
No. Brat and this guy both died. Dice on the table. Yeah. You know, no BS. Said the DC, said the modifiers, rolled, and there it goes. I even gave the courtesy tap, even though I wanted him to fail and get out of my damn gaming group. I said, the enemy orc has a bag on the head of a large lizard. Even though you put your sword up to his throat, he looks at you plaintively and does not remove his hands from the bag. What do you do? He goes, oh, I kill the orc. I say, okay. The bag flies off his head. This lizard looks you in the eye. Roll me a d20. You got a 5. You're now a statue. You can't come back.
And next time John asks, what do you want to do after giving that setup? The answer might be grab a dictionary and look up plaintively.
What did I say?
I'm just making the joke that he may not have known what that word meant.
Oh, okay. No, he's brilliant. This dude is like a particle physicist.
Okay.
And he's just such a nice guy when the camera isn't rolling at the game table. Like, even in the session before and after, he's fine. But in the game, it wasn't even a matter of, like, aggressive role-playing or a character that I didn't jive with. Just disruption, antagonization, harassment. I could not figure it out, and ultimately I just picked a time for him to die in one of my famously lethal, but not really that lethal games, and told him he couldn't reroll.
You know what would be great, Chad? You made the comment of when you leave, your player character is going to become a bad guy. That's your epic way out. In your last session, you turn against the party, and then you leave the group.
No.
If the world.
You know, ha 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 joke. Yeah, that's funny. Don't do that. Ever. Because I've been part of games and I've heard stories of games where it's like somebody's leaving or it's the end of the game and they're never gaming with these people again. And it's like,
burn the forest.
Yeah. Suddenly it's like, ha ha ha. It isn't a plan with the game master.
Oh, okay.
Nobody knows.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
And then they just like,
who would do that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, his brother would do that.
What?
Yep.
Yeah. I would say plan it with the game master.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay. I mean, if you plan it with the game master, it's all integrated. Yeah. That's cool. No, but the. But the
fly away in the transformer was that
right?
That?
Okay, yeah, I remember and that story. Probably other stuff too. But I mean, it's that is such a dick move.
No,
it's
I would say if you're going to turn that NPC that
we defuse the bomb,
but
pass the GM a note. I turn the bomb on.
But that's what my character would do, Chad.
Yeah, I would now.
Wayne, I want to thank you very much for having prepared this topic and having written up all the notes that you did and such. And for you guys out there in Gamerland, I hope none of you are needing this information. But if you do, there you go. Do with it what you will. Hey. Thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great week and great games. And we will catch you next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2016. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.